Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse number 1. That's page number 153 in the Pew Bible. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would speak unto us through these verses that we've read here this morning. Pray that you would give us understanding. Pray that you would, Father, guide us in our thoughts, that you would open our hearts, our ears, Father, that we might understand. We pray for those that are in our midst, Father, that do not yet know these things, understand these things, the things of Christ, the things of salvation, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So they're being called to remember some things as we go through these verses. They're to remember all the commands. We've heard that over and over again, to keep the commandments of the Lord. But verse number 2 says that remember all the way which the Lord had led them in the wilderness for 40 years, to humble them, to remember that he suffered them, in verse number 3, to hunger and fed them with manna, which they had never heard of, neither had their fathers ever heard of, to make them know that man doesn't live. He did these things. He tried them. He humbled them. Why? He did these things so that they might know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And trusting in and looking unto the Lord, hoping in him, waiting upon him to supply all needs. Verse number 4 says that their raiment, it didn't grow old upon them. Didn't get tattered. It didn't get threadbare. It didn't get worn out. And neither did their foot. I mean, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Difficult conditions. My foot's swollen this morning. My gout's been trying to act up on me. And I know what it is to have a swollen foot. And it's very hard to walk on a swollen foot. Their foot, they had to walk everywhere they went. Their foot didn't swell for 40 years. He says, consider in your heart, verse number 5, that as a man, remember this, that when these things come upon us, when these things happen unto us, it's the Lord chastening. It's the Lord instructing, is really what that word has to do with. It's the Lord teaching us. Now, he may have to chasten us and instruct us in the sense that we've strayed off the straight and narrow and need to be brought back. Or it may be just something the Lord wants us to understand and know. Think about Job and all that happened to Job, all that passed over Job. And in the end, he says, "I heard of thee with the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." You know, there were some things that God would show unto Job, and there was a time when Job says, "Show me, therefore, why it is that thou contendest with me." I don't know if you remember that in the book of Job, but he wanted to know why, Lord. I don't see any sin in my life that's a result of this, though my friends are continually telling me if I just repent of this or not do that, I've done something, if I just change my ways, that all this will pass, and that all these things that are happening to me will stop. The boils that are on my body from my crown of my head to the sole of my foot, you know, that this will all go away. But in the end, that wasn't the issue. But Job did ask, "Show me, wherefore, why you contend with me?" So the Lord chastens those that belong unto Him. You're privileged. Like I said before, it was last week's message or the message before that, the world wouldn't want what you get. You know, they want the goodies that are here in this life. They don't want that life that is to come. Let me rephrase that. There's not anybody that doesn't want to go to heaven, right? I mean, nobody prays to go to hell. I mean, we're seeking the Lord that we might inherit eternal life. We're praying that we might enter into that place. We're living that we might enter into that place. We're walking by faith that we might enter into that place. But they wouldn't want the things that you were given, the Lord humbling you and the Lord chastening you. When those things come upon them, we've seen in the parable of the sower, the cares and the things of this world, the thoughts of this world, the cares of this life choke out the word. We saw the stony ground, you know, where it springs up for a little while, but then trial and tribulation comes and it falls away because it has no depth. They don't want these things. But these are the things the Lord gives unto us for our good, you know, and really that we might be blessed and that we might inherit a good land, that He gives these things unto us. A land of surely this was a physical land, but in verse number 7 it says, a land of brooks of water, a good land of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olives and oil and honey, a land where there's not a scarceness of bread, a land in which you would not lack anything, whose stones are iron, that was a useful thing for them, whose hills were able to dig brass out of, a place where they would eat and be full, a place where they would eat and be full and bless, it says in verse number 10, the Lord their God for the good land which He had given them. You think when you get to heaven you might bless the Lord for the good land that He's given you? I think so. So they're being told to remember, and it's good for us. I mean, we see in other places, I even tried to put one passage, we see in other places in Scripture, it's good for us to remember. And you see the one there on the front, 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. This is not the first time that Peter said this, but he said, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. How many times have you sat there and I've said things to you that you already know? Lots of times. Probably more of that than the other, I'm sure. Why? We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. He says, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So we need to be stirred up. We need to be reminded. It's that old illustration that I've given you before about a bucket of paint. And you can go to Home Depot and you can buy one, they can shake it up for you, and if you wait 2 or 3 weeks before you use it, you got to shake it up again. You know, and there's some things that we don't always use that need to be shaken up. And guess what? The Lord provides that opportunity. He will shake. And I know what you're thinking right now. There's some things that can be shaken loose. There's some things that can be shaken away. There's some things that, you know, when you have you ever seen a pecan farm, they bring up one of those machines and they wrap that belt around the trunk of that tree and that thing just to go to shaking. And all those pecans, you know, that can be shaken loose or start to fall. Well, guess what? The pecans that fall on the ground aren't you. You know, because if you belong to Him, you can't be shaken loose. Where else are you going to go? I mean, that's what was happening. Think about that image there. And here the Lord's speaking unto these people, and a lot of them go away. And the Lord turns to the disciples and says, will you also go? And they say, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. They couldn't be shaken loose. They couldn't be turned away. And so when these things come unto us, trials and tribulations come, they're not meant to shake you off and to shake you loose. They're meant to shake you up. They're meant to stir you up and to remind you of some things. And that's what he's really saying, you know, unto them. He's saying, you know, unto us, the way of testing will show, in other words, your response will reveal, have I begun to live by bread alone? Or am I truly living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? You know, what am I living by? What am I living for? The Lord shakes us up every once in a while, and we see real quick, well, I've had my mind all focused upon these things, and it needs to be over here. You know, and the Lord calls us unto himself and turns, you know, he doesn't go anywhere. You know, he never leaves us or forsakes us, but there's times whenever we wander off, you know, and the Lord has to shake us and bring us back. And he certainly will be faithful to do that. That's what he's saying there when he mentions that in verse number 5, when he says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. God's going to chasten us. He's going to correct us. He's going to instruct us. He's going to teach us. So, you know, when these things come unto us, we need to remember that. This is the Lord's hand. This is something the Lord is doing. This is something the Lord's given unto me. You know, that's why Brother Mark LaCour would say, this is God's gift unto you when something happens to someone. That's something that I've heard him say to people before. This is God's gift unto you. And it is. Everything that God allows to come in and go out of our lives is his gift unto us. It's for our good, or it wouldn't come. It wouldn't arrive. It wouldn't wind up on your doorstep otherwise. But shake us so we could see, what are we living for? What am I living for? And here Israel had come into great blessing. Would they live for these things? Would they live for the brass? Would they live for the iron? Would they live for the olives and the oil? Would they live for the figs? Would they live for the land and the fountains and the things that were there? You know, would they begin to cherish and live for these things? Or would they do like verse number 10 says, and would they rather, for all the good that God had given unto them, would we rather find them saying, bless the Lord for the good land he has given unto us. Thanks unto God for all the goodness that God has shown unto us. The worst things that you've gone through. You know, can you thank the Lord for those things? I know the worst things I've gone through I can thank the Lord for, because he showed me some things that I would not have known otherwise, would not have seen otherwise, if nothing else, just his faithfulness to care for me, his faithfulness to support me. Even whenever I was just undone, you know, I didn't have anything else in me. He was there. And that's the place he wanted to bring me to. He wanted me to bring me to that place where I was totally without any resource, totally without anything to help besides turning unto him and knowing that he was there and that he was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think. So where would they put their trust? Where would they find their comfort? Would they find their comfort in their newfound possessions? They come out of the wilderness into all this land with all these things? Or would they find their comfort and their rest and rejoice in the living God? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So our rest, our hope, our trust, it's in him. He's our deliverance. What he deems best for me, I need to say, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, that's best for me. Behold, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. It's going to happen, Peter. Yes, Lord, that's best for me. If I need to be sifted as wheat, that's best for me. The only way that logic is possible for us to believe is to know that there's nothing left to chance. Nothing just happens of its own accord. Nothing just comes into your life for no reason. But every wind that blows, Every bird that chirps, as I was walking from here back to the house this morning after coming down and turning on the units and trying to work on the internet connection back here, and the birds chirping and the breeze blowing, what do those speak to us at times? You know, sure they do. You know, the glory and the goodness of God. But what about when trying times come? What about when the test arrives on my doorstep? You know, can I say the same thing? That God has sent this for my good. It's unmistakable. This is God. God's doing this. They, no doubt, it's like, you know, they mean it for evil, but God means it for good. Isn't that what Joseph said about his brothers? They sold him into slavery. Didn't seem so good. He ended up in prison. Didn't seem so good. But he said, God meant it all. God meant it all for good. And so that's what we have to be able to see. That's what we have to be able to not only see, but we have to be able to say. This, God means for good. He means it for good. For my good, for your good, for His glory. He means it for good. Do you know that? Have you heard me say that before? Sure you have. Do you need to be reminded of it? Absolutely, we do. It's the same understanding that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, there to that door that slew the guards that tossed them into the fire. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, whether God saves us or not, we can't worship your idol. We've got to serve the living God. And then they come out of the flames, and there's not even the smell of smoke, you know, upon them. Nebuchadnezzar sees who's God. Not that image that he had set up, but he sees who the true and living God is. As they emerged, you know, from it unharmed. So verse number one, as we look at the first verse there, that's a test in itself. What's verse number one talking about? It's talking about keeping commandments. Not just keeping commandments, there's a three-letter word in there too. All the commandments we're called to keep. We can't pick and choose. You've got to keep all of them. But that in itself is a test. Do you love me? There's a test. What does it say? Do you love me? What's the rest of that? Keep my commandments, the Lord said. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. I mean, how many times did he ask Peter? He asked Peter if he loved him until it grieved Peter. Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Do what I've told you to do, Peter. You know, do what I've given you, the task that I've given you, do it. So, do we love God? Do we trust Him? We keep His commandments. In other words, one person said here already this morning that they find themselves in a place in their life right now where they could go, you know, another way. But are we gonna trust in that? Are we gonna yield to that thing and think that there's power over there? If I go this way, it'll supply my needs. You know, I'm being pressured, and Satan's gonna drive us to go that way. You know, I'm being pressured to go this way. So am I gonna go that way and yield allegiance unto that thing? And give it power and ascribe unto it the authority in my life, and that's the way that I'm going to live? Or am I going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow the Lord, knowing that there's where true power is, and there's where true authority is, and there's where true help is, to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. You know, we've already been through that in previous messages. So keeping His commandments, yielding allegiance unto Him, you know, and doing what He has told us to do. There's a test. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. We're called not to keep, as I said, just some commandments, but all commandments. God wants complete obedience. What does that translate into that we've already gone through? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, you know, with all thy mind. Do we always do this perfectly? No. No, we don't. But it's what's in our hearts. Isn't that what's in your heart? Don't you want to do it perfectly? Don't you want to perfectly follow the Lord? It's our desire and will to do it. His will, our wills. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, that's our desire. On earth as it is in heaven. That's the desire of our hearts. We have learned that in this obedience is the pathway of blessing. You know, there's where true blessing is. Obedient to God. Is it always easy? No. Sometimes is it difficult? Yes. But it's what He's called us to do. And Brother Conrad, you say it like this: What God initiates, in other words, He sponsors. He would say God sponsors what He initiates. So if God initiates something, this is what I called you to do. Well, God's going to sponsor that too. And you understand what I'm saying by sponsor. He's going to supply, you know, what is needful for this to be done. You know, television shows have sponsors, don't they? And if they didn't have those sponsors, they wouldn't be able to air the program because they wouldn't have the money to pay the actors and to be able to build the sets and do all the things that have to be done and all the editing and all the things that go into it in order to produce that program if it weren't for the sponsors supplying money for the, you know, advertisement, then that wouldn't happen. So God sponsors what He initiates. God's going to supply the needs for that which He calls us to do. And whatever He's called, He's going to give us the grace, in other words. He's going to give us grace to be able to do that thing, you know, whatever it is. If indeed the Lord has called you to nursing, He will supply. You don't have to worry about the cost of books or the cost of the class or the difficulty of whatever it is that you're called, you know, to do, the messy stuff that you're going to have to clean up, you know. God gives grace. God gives grace. And He will supply all of our needs. If He's called us unto something, He's going to supply the needs that we have in order to do the thing that He's given us to do. You know, it's if a master called a servant to build something, the servant, you know, in the sense in which we're talking about it here, he didn't have any means to be able to do anything. You know, he didn't have the money, didn't have the materials. You know, his time wasn't even his unless his master told him to do something. His master supplied the materials. His master supplied the time, you know, to do the thing that he called him to do, whether it was to build a barn or whatever it was. You know, he supplied what it was that was needful. And God does the same. So they're told to remember in verse number 2. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee this 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And I'm going to try not to hurry through some of these things, but it's already, you know, 12:30. But they're told to remember. Remember. Remember what? Remember all the ways, and we already kind of went through that exercise a little bit in the beginning. Remember all the ways that the Lord had led them. And it's beneficial. We've already stated this. It's beneficial for us to remember. I mean, what if we forgot every day the day before? Yeah, that wouldn't be very helpful, would it? I mean, it's like starting over every day. Start over every day to learn to walk. Of course, you've got to crawl before you can walk, learn to speak. You know, that would not be helpful at all. I mean, there's no way that we would get anywhere, you know, if that were the case. But we remember things. You know, I learned all those things a long time ago. So it's helpful for us to remember all of what, all that God has done for us. All that God did for them translates into all that God has done for us and for them. You know, we're building upon what's already been done. There's so many things that are written here in this book that God's given unto us for our instruction, for our edification, for our admonition. You know, all Scripture is profitable in this way, to where we're to remember these things. And not only these things, but the things that God has done for us individually. And maybe not just us individually, but what I've seen God do in your life too. I mean, that had a profound impact upon me at one point in my life. Because here was a man that I knew that had lost his wife. Here I was with the prospect of losing my wife to a sickness. And I'm like, Lord, if you can bring that man through this, if you can give him grace to go through such a difficult thing, then I know that you can give me grace. So how beneficial is it for us to remember these things, to remember the things that God has taught us? If God be for us, who can be against us? That God's on our side. How beneficial is it to remember those things that God has shown unto us? To remember that this world's not our home. To remember that heaven is our dwelling place. To remember there's something better awaiting us. That there's something, there's more ahead of us than we've left behind. There's more ahead that God has in store for us. Remember, He says, how that I humbled you and proved you to know what was in your heart. Does God need to know what's in our hearts? Careful. Does God know everything? He knows what's in our hearts. Does he know what you're thinking right now? Sure, he does. Does he know every thought you've ever had? Sure. Does he know what you're going to do tomorrow? Yeah, he knows. So who needs to know? We need to be reminded of this, too. We need to know. Why does God do these things? Why does he put us through these tests? Why does he humble us? Why does he do this? Show us what's in our hearts. You know, show us what is real. Show us what is true. Shake off all these things that don't really amount to anything, that aren't going to help us along in this life, really, but we've set our attachment and affection upon it, and the Lord's got to shake it loose. You know, got to get rid of that thing. You know, that thing's not helping you. It's dragging you. It's really holding you back. You know, it's not helping you at all. It's got, Hebrews talks about laying aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us. God's shaking those things off. Now, what's in my heart? What's really there? What's at the core of my heart? What is there that's really important? Again, I'll go back to Jeremiah. How many people talk about this? You know, that the heart is evil, it's desperately wicked, who can know it? That's the heart of an unbeliever. So God's not trying to uncover necessarily. I mean, there are things within us, don't get me wrong, that God has to show to us that we're doing that are displeasing in his sight. We've got to shake those things loose too. But what's really in your heart? If he's given you a new heart, what's really there? It's him. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. It's all about living for God and glorifying him. And God shaking loose other things and causing us to see what is real, what is true. You know, this land, these fountains, these orchards and these things, yeah, those are things that God's given us. But what's real and true is God's blessed us with these things, and we haven't gotten it with our own hand. It's what the Lord's given unto us to have a right perspective, you know, about things. God will chasten us. He will humble us. He will shake some things loose that need to be shaken loose. God did this for them. He does this, you know, for us. It's good for us to be humbled. If it wasn't good for us to be humbled, then God wouldn't humble us. But because it is good for us to be humbled, God does humble us. So that we see and we're reminded where our bread comes from. It's not from what we've done. Look at our might. Look at our army, Israel could say. Look what we've done. Look what we've accomplished. Look what we've overcome. Look at all these enemies that we've slain. Look at this land that we've captured. No, this isn't them. This is God. I told you before about my favorite brand of bread. I know, haven't I, in relationship to this? And you don't see it all the time anymore, but I think mostly now it's only around the holidays. But Sunbeam bread, you've seen the little girl on the front, and she's praying. There's three words that appear out there to the right of her. It says, "Not." This is a loaf of bread, okay? Don't miss that. It says on there, "Not by bread." I guess it's more than that. Not by bread alone. So there's four words there. So, I mean, if somebody at one point, whether the company still has anybody that's running it that feels that way, or it's just something that's, you know, this is where we come from. You know, this is an old, you know, thing, you know, that they did way back when, and so it's classic. You know, we just got to put that on there. I don't know, but somebody at some point owned that company, and they were making bread. And what'd they do? They knew, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So they put it right there on the label, not by bread alone. You know, I think that's good. That's disappearing from our landscape, no doubt. And I'm sure, I haven't heard anything about it yet, but I'm sure at some point, some Freedom From Religion Foundation is going to see it, and it's going to speak to them, and they're going to say, "We've got to get rid of this. You can't be putting that in the grocery stores. You know, that's offensive to some people. Not by bread alone. That comes from the Bible. You can't have that on a piece of some type of a food product in the grocery store." You know, somebody's going to be offended by that. And, they need to be offended by it. If they are, that may be coming. We don't know. But he humbled them. So we're going to have trouble in this life. And if we don't understand that God puts us in those circumstances, we're going to have trouble understanding why these things are happening unto us. But it's God. It's God shaking some things. It's God reminding us, "Hey, you don't live by bread alone. Hey, it's not about this life. It's not about the things of this life. You need to get your affection off of these things and set your affection upon things above. You know, so he does remind us. He does send us things into our lives that, bring us to a place where we can see that if we live after the flesh, that's just death. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, there's life. That's where life's at. Mortify, therefore, Colossians 3:5 says, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness equal to idolatry. I want, I want, I want. I've got to have that thing. I'm coveting that thing. Not bread. We don't live by that. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can covet that all you want to. God's not going to get on to you about that. You can covet holiness. You can covet righteousness. You can covet right things. I want those things. That's what God wants us to do, is to go after those things. And think about Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, talking about speaking with the tongue of men and of angels. But if he doesn't have love, if we have just those things, just bread, what do we have? We're nothing. We're nothing without God. We're nothing. He said, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So how do we respond to affliction? Where do we think it comes from? It comes from the hand of the Lord. How do we respond to it? I know how my kids respond when I discipline them. I'm not saying this is all kids, but this is the right response. If I discipline them and spank them, what do? They don't run off and get mad and scream, you know, obscenities at me. No, they turn to me. And then I comfort them. You know, you have done wrong. You've been disciplined and chastened. Now your heart's been set right. You know, now you know what you've done is wrong. You knew what, not that they didn't know it before, but now it's been revealed. It's been brought into the light. Now you know that I know you did it. And now they want things to be right, you know. So that's our response as well. So what's it for? Is it so God knows what's in our heart? No, it's not so that we know. So that we know. It's for us. And to be humbled, you know what that word means? It means to submit. It means to submit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. When something drops into your life, when something threatens your future, remember this. Remember this. God's doing this. God's shaking some things that need to be shaken. I'm gonna cleave unto him and cling unto him. That's where he wants me to be. That's where I need to be. You know, and if some of these things are shaken off, what does it matter? What does it matter in the end? What are any of these things gonna matter when I'm standing in glory? You know, when I've been there, Brother Doug, 10,000 years. You know, what are these things going to matter? When I've been there one day, you know, 10 seconds, you know, what are these things going to matter? If such a second exists, if we could even measure a second, then because it will be an eternity. But when something drops into our lives, no doubt there's going to be some shockwaves. We're going to be shaken. There's going to be some shockwaves. But don't give in to them. You know, don't give in to those things. Don't yield to them. Fight. The fight of faith. Cling to the Lord. Don't cling to those things. Just let them go. Whatever they are. If the Lord wants to shake them loose, I don't need them. Now, do we always respond that way? Most of the time, not. But that's how we should respond when the Lord starts shaking some things up. We need to fix our focus upon the joy that is set before us. That's what the Lord did. I mean, here he was heading to the cross, but he fixed his focus upon the joy that was set before him. That's where we need to fix our focus. God resists the proud. I don't want to let go of it, but he gives grace to the humble. Lord, I don't care about that. I just want you. You know, he gives grace unto the humble. Well, I had more, but we'll have to continue that another time. We've been long enough this morning. Let's stand. Father, we're thankful this morning as we come before you for all that you are, that you do shake things, and that we do see, Father, what is right and what is good. What remains is to be our focus and our goal. We're thankful that you don't leave us to ourselves. We're thankful that you do draw us, Father, unto you. Father, and as we draw closer and closer, more and more of these things fall off. More and more of these things become unimportant. More and more of the things of this life begin to fade, Father, and we see Christ as all in all. We see Christ as alone important in our lives, and alone important is the only thing that we really do need, is the grace that you give, Father, to sustain us, that we seek first the kingdom of God, that we seek first your righteousness. All these things that we have need of, you will supply. You'll provide them. But you've called us unto a work. You've called us to seek after you. The things of this life that we have need of will be given unto us. So, Father, we look unto you this morning, and we thank you for the reminder that you've given us. We thank you for the food that we're about to partake of. We thank you for the fellowship that we'll have around the table. We thank you for your goodness and mercy unto us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.